We got some nasty friends.
Oh, they're disgusting. They're disgusting.
Some nasty friends.
Yo,
I'm not gonna give any names, but we mutually know someone who is driven for a food delivery service and will come off top of the bag if they got fries. What?
No, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. How could you sit there and eat somebody else's fries, man? How do you feel like this comes with a dig your little nasty hands into somebody else's stuff, bro? That's just terrible, man. That's just terrible.
First of all, who raised you?
Who raised you to think that that's acceptable?
What farm were you servicing cows and chickens and hens and you know what I mean? Like, what? If I found out I had your fingers, your nasty, potentially COVID-ridden fingers in my arms.
COVID-ridden. Hey, you see your boy representing with the Pack Life tea?
You know what I'm saying?
That's what it's all about, Pack Life, baby. You got my boy. So what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fresh and Fit Podcast, man, where our goal is to help you stay fresh, help you stay fit while you're doing it, you know what I'm saying? Help you stay fit while you're staying fresh, all that, uh-huh. You know what I mean? That's the goal. We were here to help you guys out. I'm so thankful for another day. Thankful for my co-host, Chad, man.
I'm your host, too, bro. We are not, look, you make it seem like I'm Jerry Lewis, and you're Dean Martin. Look, I'm your co-host.
You're my co-host. Stop tripping, bro. Dang.
We're both Dean Martin. There is no Jerry Lewis. We're both Dean Martin.
But you can say James is my co-host. I can say you're my co-host, bro. Stop being weird.
Well, we learned 3 episodes that I'm not just your co-host. I'm also your father, very strangely enough.
Oh, my God, bro. You're so weird. So David Duncan is here, guys. If you guys don't know who he is, he's a reality TV guy. He's been on that show, I think it's called Prison or Jail, where you had to literally go in there. He was an officer, then he had to become a prisoner, you know what I'm saying? So we're gonna let him explain that, talk to us about his experience on that show. Is he
in the waiting room?
He's in the waiting room.
Okay, real quick, we need to add this. Folks, we had to go Zoom real quick because someone caught the plague.
No one caught the plague. There was exposure to the coronavirus. And so we didn't want to.
We're playing whatever. It safe. We're trying to be responsible human beings.
Yep. So we on the Zoom, baby. We on the Zoom. So we had Duncan in on the waiting room. Let's go. Admit.
There we go.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Sir.
Okay. Cool.
David, what's up, bro? How you feeling, man?
What's up, my guy, man? Chilling, man. I'm good. I'm chilling.
Good.
What's up with you? Bro. You happy to be back in the States?
Bro, I'm so happy to be back, bro. I have no trust.
You was in, what you call it, right?
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia. I thought that was good.
I have no desire to go back anytime soon. I mean, I miss my family. It just is what it is, man. I know you talked about going overseas and stuff. It's just a huge, huge sacrifice. People don't realize, you know what I'm saying? Like, the sacrifice you're making, you know what I'm saying? People don't realize it because they think it was like this, oh, you overseas, you making money, you doing your thing, it's good. Yeah. But the reality is you're doing this to provide for your family, you know what I'm saying? So like it's not like all glitz and glamour. You know what I mean?
Nah, I'm here. Trust me, I'm here, bro.
Yeah. I see you got your son with you. Your son with you on there.
Yeah, he on here.
Young
King,
what's up?
We got a special guest and a half on the show today. There we go.
How old is your son?
He's 19 months.
19 months. Okay. So when was he born? July
or May? May 30th.
May 30th. Okay. So May 30th. So Mari's 18 months. Mari was born in June. So we were shooting around the same time. Obviously.
Oh, definitely. He got made around August.
Yeah, I was shooting around the same time, bro. Yeah, it is what it is, man. Them babies is a blessing. But they're a blessing and a stressing at the same time.
You ain't lying, especially at this age, man, because he's so smart and he want to get into everything.
Everything.
Everything, bro. I can't turn around for a second.
Yeah. He putting something in his mouth. You're eating something, doing something, grabbing something,
and running, and yeah, man. Look, he right now, he want to do something. Like, I can't even. There's nothing in there, baby. Yes, please.
He said yes, please.
Oh, Chipotle. Shout out to Chipotle.
Shout out to Chipotle.
Bro, I can't even bring a bag home because my little girl be like, fries.
Oh, man, french fries?
Yeah.
Over with.
Oh, she's
French fries is over with, bro. French fries is the number one food for him.
Bro, so I brought you on the show, man, because I know we play ball together.
Yeah, man,
you know what I'm saying? You're an advocate for police officers and the things that you've done. You was on the front lines out there. I mean, as a black police officer, we've had conversations. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree on things. Yeah. I think that's dope because everybody doesn't have the same point of view or perspective. I think we can respectfully understand each other. So as men, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's one thing. Also, man, you're a reality TV show guy. You know what I'm saying? So you know what comes with that? A little bit of fame, couple followers, couple of dollars. You know what I'm saying? Let me hold something.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I got you.
some of these shows. But for real though. So one, what made you want to become a police officer? And why do you think it's such tension between Americans right now, especially black males and the police force?
All right, so what made me want to be a cop in the beginning was, truth be told, bro, like, my very first reason for real was, and can we speak freely? We can speak freely?
Yeah, it's uncensored.
Okay, cool. So I was getting tired of getting fucked with by the police, you feel me? I'm in the hood, I'm a young dude, you know, so I had an altercation one time, I had a few altercations, but, and mind you, I was in the streets for a little bit, you know what I mean, and you kind of just grow to kind of like have a dislike for him. But one particular day, bro, I got pulled over in broad daylight, man. I had a 10 on the car. Dude was like, you know, pulled me over. And he was just like, yo, you know, how can you afford this car? All type of stuff. Asked me if I had dead bodies in the trunk. Just dog me, threw me in the back seat, face first, cuffed me. You know what I mean? Tore my seat apart. Mind you, my back seats didn't come off. You had to like pull them off. So they broke them. Dog me, man, and they ended up letting me go, and that was just it. It was just like, all right, he ain't got nothing, we out. And I was just like, damn. So a part of me was just like, man, what if I was one of them? They probably wouldn't be able to fuck with me no more. I'm like, don't do this shit, you feel me? So I ended up rocking out with it, because I'm going to be real, bro, and it sounds crazy, but I didn't have, my intentions wasn't really like, I ain't gonna say it wasn't good, but they wasn't like, I didn't have a classic line like, oh, my father was a sheriff and my uncle was a deputy. You know, I come from, you know, my dad was one of the biggest Jamaican judges in Ohio. Like, you feel me? Like, it was different for me, man. Coming up, being Jamaican, both parents, like, the police thing wasn't no avenue to go down for real. So it was like, I just did it because I just wanted immunity, bro. I was tired of getting rocked with it, man.
Yeah. So that's kind of about my second question too. Like, why do you think police officers, why is there that tension between black people, especially black young males and police officers? Why is that tension there?
So let's be honest about law enforcement in general. Law enforcement has always been used as the gateway and the front runner for suppression. If you think about, even we go back to the past, even though we wasn't born in those times, but we just know the stories, they didn't get firefighters to come and do certain shit. They did, but not like in the manner of the police. You feel me? Like, yeah, the firefighters like poses, doing stuff like that. But police though, you talking about having a gun, you talking about taking away your freedom. We talking about, like, you know, no cameras. We talking about an era where it was no cameras, you feel me? So yeah. In that regard, everything was a go. Mm. You feel me? Now in today's society, we just now got body cameras. Let me see, I've been a cop 8 years, about 10 years, 10, 10, about 10 years, and it's only been implemented into the actual society where it's mandatory, maybe about six.
Yeah.
I just watched.
Huh?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying just imagine what happened in the 90s, though.
Oh, yeah.
All the stories that we heard was true. You feel me? So it's like, it's definitely a disconnect, but it's deeper than anything we can imagine.
Yeah, I think you associate, at least, you know, this year especially, when there's been so many, like, on top of every tragedy we've had these, you know, protests, some peaceful, some not so peaceful. But then when you also, like, as a young person, associate you speaking your voice or exercising what the Constitution has as your right, being approached with by a deadly force or by people, like, you kind of associate, damn, well, if I speak up or try to stand up for what's right, this is what happens.
You mean it like
these guys who are supposed to protect and serve, and some, you know, there's good and bad in every profession.
All right, so let's get down to the nitty gritty, bro. I'm gonna keep it a bun with you for real. So in law enforcement, there is a code where it's like you can blackball yourself. So like, especially as a rookie, and you're going through FTO, certain places they treat you like a dog. Especially if it's like a high crime area, they'll shut the fuck up, sit down, don't touch shit, don't do this. Well, go in this car, stay in this motherfucking car. You feel me? Like, it's a sense of a loyalty to an extent. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you see something, you can't speak on it. But in some regards, you kind of can't, though. Because, like, if you do speak on it, now nobody want to work with you. Now nobody want to be bothered with you. Now you going to be on the blacklist. So now imagine going through 20, 25 years of your career and everybody like, yeah, fuck him. You can't trust him. He ratted out on such a... As crazy as it sounds, it's almost like the same street ethics is transferred over into law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Policy, the whole, you know, shut the fuck up. Hey, if you see some, if you hear some, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's crazy because both worlds mimic each other to an extent. It's only one is after the other and one is getting away from the other. You feel me?
Mm.
So, like, it's the same rules still apply. That's why for some people, like, I kind of got this saying where I say, you know, it's snitching when it ain't your loved one, but when it hit close to home, it's justice.
Mm.
You feel me?
I feel you.
Your grandma get knocked over the corner around the corner and she get robbed. It's all that. My grandma, you know, I want smoke. But then you heard about little Timmy down the street. His grandma just got hit up the head and you like, damn, that's fucked up. But you know who did it, but you just like, damn, I'm going to holler at him on the one-on-one, though, but he can't be doing no shit. You ain't going to be like, hey, police, yo, I know who did that crime down the street, little Timmy Peebles, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you had the opportunity to see it on both sides, right? From mm-hmm. when you as a police officer, 10 years, then you did the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did it feel to be on that side of it where you're basically a prisoner? You know what I'm saying?
So I'm still in law enforcement to this day. The thing is this. So before I was a cop, though, bro, I went to jail. A lot of people don't know that. Like, I don't really tell too many people that story, you know what I mean? But I caught a couple of charges and went to county and stuff. And what's portrayed to the media, what's portrayed in these movies is not really what you think. It's not what jail truly is, man. Like, you go in there, you keep your nose clean, you chill, you be yourself. Don't get me wrong. If it's some street beef and you going to jail and it's a motherfucker in there that you got beef with on the street, yeah, y'all might have to swap it out one time. You know what I mean? But being in there, bro, so two things bother me in jail, bro. Number one, they didn't allow inmates to read law books. That really bothered me. They wouldn't let them educate themselves. I kind of asked, like, yo, can I get a book on the law in Arizona? I just want to know, you know, because I was hearing all the stories from everybody. I'm like, damn, me being on law enforcement, I know the law, even if it's from state to state, it's still transferable. So it's like, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to these people's stories for why they're in jail. And I'm like, damn, that shouldn't have happened. Or damn, mind you, I only get one side, though. You feel me? I'm hearing the person's side. But most victims, though, going to give you both sides because they want you to give them a definitive answer, whether they were right or wrong. So I'm listening to these stories. I'm like, well, let me go ahead and read up on their law. So when the books came around every Thursday, I asked dude, like, hey, man, you ain't got no law books? They're like, no, nah, we don't give out. We stop doing that. I go talk to one of the inmates. I'm like, why they stop, you know, doing the book thing? And he basically said, man, they used to do it a few years ago, but they stopped that shit. So that was the first thing. The second thing that bothered me in jail was we all share the same story, no matter race. Like, for some odd reason, we got it where come on, Marie. So we got it where I apologize, bro.
You good? You good? Look, man, I got a baby too. I understand.
Yeah. So we got it where my bad. I lost my train of thought. I'm trying to get it back.
You were talking about how racist, no matter the race, we all
okay, going yeah, yeah, yeah. The same. So no matter the race, but the one thing I learned in there, for whatever reason, like when I was there, they were saying like Mexicans don't like black people. I didn't get the full story on why though. Then it was like, oh, you know, it was such a divide. But when I'm listening to everybody's story, we all shared a lot of the same things in comments. And one of the things that most people was in there was, oh, they didn't have a father figure, so they wild out. They didn't have a role model, they wild out. They joined a gang, jumped on drugs, selling drugs, doing drugs. When I tell you, it's a part in there where I say everybody do drugs. Like, everybody do drugs. You feel me? And when I say everybody in that bitch do drugs, bro, or tried it, like, I'm talking about, like, it was dudes in there that was, like, the youngest age, bro, like, 19, 18, it was a guy in there that was 75. Everybody at some point in time in their life did drugs. And I was just like, damn.
So did it? So I would imagine that experience had to have maybe changed or solidified your perspective on people, especially the type of people you would see in jail.
Definitely the second word, solidify. You know how you think a certain way, but as life goes on, it's either life gonna do one or two things. It's gonna show you that you need to change your way of thinking, or it's gonna try to reinforce that you're going the right way. Mm-hmm. In that case, it reinforced me that, okay, Dave, you going down the right path mentally and physically for real, doing this police thing. You know what I mean? Because like in the hood, I was like a hero for real. Like, this was before I moved down to Miami. You feel me? When I was working where I was working, it was mad love. You feel me? Like, oh, go get Duncan. We want to talk to Duncan. We're Duncan and he on duty today. That's what we want to, you know, and I had a great rapport with everybody, whether you was a dope boy, whether you was a you know, common folk, whether you was an elderly person, it didn't matter. They all loved me. But it was because I treated everybody with respect, honor, understanding, compassion, empathy.
See, I think that's the biggest issue, right? It's like, we get people to come to police our neighborhoods that don't have any compassion for our neighborhoods, right? So they don't understand the dynamics of the neighborhood. And I feel like even with me, I used to work in education. It's hard to discipline someone if they don't feel like you care about them. You know what I'm saying? But if they feel like you care about them, then you can discipline them. Like I have students that would do crazy stuff, but if they knew I cared about them, so when I got them together, they'd be like, all right, Mr. Abrams, he tripping right now, but he care about me, so I'm gonna let him, you know what I'm saying, do what he gotta do. So I'm gonna listen to him. So like, yeah, I discipline you, bro, because I wanna see what's best for you. A lot of times, my experience is with officers, especially white officers that I've talked to, because I was at Tri-C when they do like the academies and boot camp, so, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so like that, so it would come through. And one officer, I remember having a conversation with him, he was like, yeah, man, I was like, so why you wanna be a police officer? He's talking about why you wanna become a police officer. And he was like, yeah, I want some action. So I wanna be in the city, I wanna do something. I said, bro, you're thinking wrong. You want action? That's why you wanna be a police officer? Like your mentality is jacked up, you know what I'm saying? Like that shouldn't be what it is. Your goal should be to protect and serve. You know what I'm saying? Not for action. You just trying to get action. This ain't no video game. This ain't Grand Theft Auto. This is real life. It's some of people's lives here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That would be like a teacher from the suburbs wanting to teach inner city so that the kids can see how terrible their conditions are and how behind they are. Like that, it's terrible that you have people doing that. But you do.
All right, so it's two things that I got to elaborate with this. So, yeah, that's true. There are some people that come through and they be like, yo, I want the action. I heard the stories. You know, I want to get in the grime. I want to get in the grit. You feel me? Like, I want to have my own stories to tell. Yeah. One thing you hit on is that we need more people. You want more people from the community to police our community, right?
Yeah.
There's a huge ill with that, bro. You have to know the hiring process for a police officer. Mm-hmm. So to say this, to say the least, this is one of the most competitive bro, when I tell you to get a job as a cop, let alone not just being black, you already gonna have some issues. Let me throw this out there, because a lot of cops don't talk about this. Is there racism in this shit? Man, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. And then some of it is hidden in the hiring practices, man. So, like, you got to go through a polygraph. They come talk to your neighbors. They come to your house. They do an extensive background check. You, your family, your whole history as far as juvenile, adulthood. Bro, they even go through your taxes to see last time you missed a tax payment. Like, bro, when I tell you, they look for it. The hiring process for a cop is not to look for reasons to hire you. It's to look for every reason not to hire you.
Mm.
And I'm not saying white folks don't go through it. They definitely do, because you got to figure. So let's talk about Cleveland for a second. So you got Cleveland got their own academy, which if you finish, you go through them and you have their job. You get a job with Cleveland, all right? That's a private academy. And you have what's called the public academies. You got the Tri-Cs, you got the Akrons, the Kent States, the Stark County, the Cleveland Heights. All these academies, right? But they don't guarantee you a job. So boom, you go through like a Lakeland, right? Let's say in 1 year, all these classes graduate, which be between, let's say 6 to 8 months. So you got two classes at least coming out every year from five different facilities. Let's say they graduating 30 people per facility, right? But those people got to go and find their job.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is, the state law states that a department has to create a list every 2 years, a list to hire from, but do not have to hire from it. They just need to create one. You get what I'm saying? So now I'm going to give you a scenario. You got me, but you got little Joey over here, college degree, no traffic record, two-parent household, did everything right in his life, right? Then you got me from the hood. Oh, he didn't had a couple run-ins with the police, got a little record that he had expunged, driving record ain't the best, but he been on the SWAT team, he a sergeant, he the OIC, he this, he done dealt with 50 homicides, he didn't solve this many cases, he didn't been a detective, right? Who they gonna choose, bro? They gonna choose little Joey. You know what? Little Joey moldable. You can mold little Joey. You feel me? Somebody like me, I'm almost considered what they call tainted. Not experienced, bro. For some departments, they'd be like, yo, we come with a lot of experience. But other departments is, nah, he gonna come over here with a lot of bad habits. You feel me? How we gonna break that? Let's deal with little Joey, because little Joey is, he wet behind the ears. We can mold him into the type of officer we want him to be. If you go to all these nice neighborhoods, let's go to the Pepper Pikes, the Beechwoods, the Rocky River, the West Lakes, the East Lakes, the Orange. How many black cops you done seen, man? We talking about on the payroll. We talking about, let's say on the payroll is 47 to 50 officers. I mean, blacks you didn't see though, bro. We talking about
rare. So, and this brings me to the point. I asked my boy that last week. How many of them cops are in shape? How many of them cops is in shape? Now you work out all the time. How many of them cops is in shape for real? What's the percentage?
What's your definition of in shape?
In shape, could pass a PT test,
on any given day. His face though.
You want me to give a percentage?
Percentage.
Maybe a soft, and we talking about like overall anywhere.
So in a department, who can pass like just give like one
in an average department, bro. I'm gonna say 15%.
15%. 15%.
15 to 20, but listen, we talking about push-ups, sit-ups, mile and a half run. Some require you to carry a body a certain amount of feet. You know what I'm saying? You got some places that make you push a car. I done been through a PT test with CMHA where they made me push a car, like a whole police car up a hill, like while it was in neutral. You feel me? So we talking about, can somebody on any given day just wake up off the couch and be like, let me go pass this PT test? And they're not even going to pass the run, bro. They're not going to pass.
What's the time for the mile and a half run?
So it go by age in the state of Ohio is so from 20 to 29. I believe that is, don't quote me on this, but I think it's.
Is it 12 minutes?
Nah. It's like 11:50 or 11:45 or something like that. Yeah, I believe.
Under 12.
A mile and a half. Yeah. Now from 30 to 39, I believe it was 12:25.
Okay.
And then like it go
still pretty good.
It'll go from that, still pushing it. Hold on, wait though. We talking about a mile and a half. We talking about them six laps around that track. I did it. I done been there. I'm telling y'all, you think it's a breeze?
No.
It ain't no breeze, bro. Like, no
breeze at all.
I have no doubt in my mind that's not a breeze.
Listen to me, bro. It's not a breeze, bro. You really got a lightweight train for it to an extent.
Absolutely. You gotta keep that. So do you think that officers train like the ones that do work out? Because a lot of times I see officers, they get real bulky. Like why do they do that? Why do they get all bulky like that?
So you mean bulky as in fat or bulky as in muscle?
Well, so to me, bulky is when you fat and muscular at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
You got the big arms, but you got a little bit of belly.
Little gut. You got gut.
Okay.
So why do officers purposely gain weight? Like, what's the point in gaining weight, you think, as an officer? Like,
yeah, you need the phone now. Hold on, say it again, bro. I'm sorry.
So what's the point in gaining weight or gaining muscle when you're a police officer? Like, how does that transition to your job?
Let's be honest. Depending on where you work, because there's some cops that don't get no action whatsoever and they just buff and fit in. And let's be real, one is to get the ladies. You know what I'm saying? Mm. You want to look good in your uniform. Especially this is the thing. There's so many fat, sloppy cops that when you in fit, you like a gym. Mm. You feel me? It's like, oh my God, do you see? You know what I'm saying? Girls be like, oh, hey, yes, hey, look, mm-hmm. old and raggedy. So then the other thing is, when you get in these physical altercations, like mind you, let me just throw this out there to the public. There are some cops that still use these. There's some cops that still get in the mix. I'm one of them. I don't go to the bat belt, bro. I'm not about to pepper spray you. I'm not about to tase you. I'm not about to shoot you. I'm gonna use this first because this is my best weapon right here. I'm gonna rap with you. I'm gonna relate with you. I'm gonna chat with you. I'm gonna do what I can. And I didn't deal with people that was geeked out of their mind on water and was calm. Hey, come on, pal. Let's go this way. You know, I done pulled up to a scene where. I'm gonna say this. I didn't put up to a scene where dude was so high on water, he was jacking off on somebody's porch. I literally came to him like, bro, put your pants up, bro. It's okay. Put your thing up, man. Hey, right? This is how I'm talking to him, hey, but this is how you gotta, you feel me? You
gotta put your dick in your pants.
Bro, let's go this way, bro. I got the ambulance for you, man. They're gonna look out for you. Everything gonna be all right. You know, you're like, get your dick in your pants, you motherfucker. You know what I mean? It's certain people that escalate shit.
Yeah.
I'm a de-escalator, man. You feel me? So like, the physical part is only times where you got to get into a little tussle. So you got to be strong, man, because these guys, bro, they be strong, bro. You ever dealt with somebody on wet, bro? They be like 30 times their own normal strength, bro. It's crazy, bro. So it's like you just got to be in some form of physical shape. Then the third, and I'm not going to say this is important, but it plays a factor. People going to test you, bro.
Yeah.
People advise you to fuck up, man. They going to look at you and be like, shit, can I take this nigga? You feel me? Like, they're going to look at you like that, bro. They're going to be like, can I run on him when he try to? Because people, you gotta realize, man, people, and I hate using the word criminal because everybody that break the law isn't considered a criminal to me, man. Like, I ran stoplights and stop signs and sped, like, you feel me? Like, so it's different for me. But hold on real quick.
So I think you brought up some good points. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess I never considered, like, you got to get bigger to be able to handle, like, some of those altercations or physical people that, you got to, like, you just want to tackle down. Like, yo, I got to get this big motherfucker down. You never know who you could be put into this having to get or push on somebody. So it is a good thing to do. But also, man, I feel like, I think, like, do you guys have to take PT tests yearly, annually or whatever?
So you have some departments that will pay you to be in shape. So they'll say, hey, you know, if you pass this test that we give, you'll get an extra like $1,500 or extra $2,500. You feel me? And then that will kind of motivate them because there's no real state or law that say, hey, cop, you have to be in shape. You feel me? You got
to. So why do you go so hard? Why do you train so hard in the gym? You know what I'm saying? Like, what makes, is it because of your police stuff or just, it's just ingrained in you to go hard like that?
So you hit on pretty much key points. I mean, it's the police thing. It's I was doing this before the police thing. It's like you said, it's ingrained in me. It's the football aspect, but it's also the fact that, man, like, you got one body, bro.
Yeah.
And one is gone is gone, man. And at the meantime, while you have it, why am I trying to take care of it? And I see people that be like, and I be like, don't get me wrong. Some surgeries are definitely necessary, bro. Like, it's some people that, you know, working out, they kind of far beyond the workout part. So maybe they might have to get a little lipo. And then kick in the working part after the fact. They might need a little jump start. I'm all with
it. Working out and they need a little tummy tuck or something to fix their little
You feel me? So I mean, like you said, bro, it's ingrained, it's the police, it's the football in me, it's the track in me. It's just I just don't ever want to be a slouch, man. That's like one of my fears, man.
So how do you maintain your fitness throughout the course of, which I would imagine, like, being in law enforcement can be, like, a lot of jobs can be stressful. How do you manage to not only stay in shape, but then even kind of a separate question is, like, do you battle with taking your work home? Like, how do you kind of manage all of that?
So, like, at most police departments, there's always a workout facility. Majority of police departments, if they don't have a workout facility, they have like an agreement with another company that has a workout facility. You can go there, they give you the key, yada yada, late night, whenever you want. So I'm not gonna lie, man, you made a good point. It'd be 16-hour days, 21-hour days, 12-hour days, 10-hour days. Then you talking about, that's at the department. We ain't talking about if you working on a homicide, you working on a stolen vehicle, if you working on a rape case, the extra hours into that. And then on top of that, you, as a cop, you work a lot of side jobs. You work in the bars, you work in the clubs, you work in the mall, you work in the banks, and just trying to constantly get that little money. Honestly, it's probably one of the most hardest disciplines of my life, man, because you got to keep telling yourself, I know I'm tired, but just put in an hour, just put in 40 minutes, just put in 30 minutes. I know you're going to be tired. Just put it in. So it's times where I just get it in wherever. Like, I remember working the RNC downtown. And we talking about some long hours. We doing 14-hour days. And I just bust out some push-ups right there on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of like you just get it in whenever you can. But you got to have that mentality, though. Like, you feel me? Yeah. You got to be like, let me just go ahead and knock out 200 real quick, knock out 300. Let me, or challenge yourself and be like, all right, well, let me see how many these I can do before somebody walk by. Or let me do this or do, you know, you kind of make a game out of it sometimes. And to answer your second question, In my career, man, I want to say there has, I've seen so much, man. I'll talk about so much, man. Out of everything I've seen, there's probably, truth be told, there were two incidents that really like hit me hard. And I ain't saying the other ones wasn't bad. They was three. I'm gonna say three. Three incidents that hit me hard. But I didn't take it home with me to that extent, but I did think about it when I got home. I'm like, damn, you know, it kind of resonated with me, but it was never where I wanted to take it out on somebody. You know what I'm saying? Or like bring it home with anger, or come home with stress and just be an asshole, or like be depressed. Like yeah. it's never been that for me. It's probably because growing up in the hood in Cleveland, growing up and seeing things and how I was raised, it's like I don't really take too many things personally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we kind of talked about that in my last episode. I kind of told him, like, you know, I grew up on a superior. So like when you grow up in the hood, man, you kind of get numb to stuff that's really traumatic to other mm-hmm. people. You know what I'm saying? Like it could be traumatic, like it can be a gun battle. Somebody could be shooting outside. And you just mm-hmm. you looking out the window trying to see what's happening. Other people are hitting the ground. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I've experienced that before. So I don't know. Like I think once you do go through those crazy times, mm-hmm. It can kind of make you numb a little bit. You know what I mean? Especially yeah. as men, we just because we're not taught how to properly deal with our emotions and deal with stuff like that. Especially, you know what I'm saying? You know, when we're younger. You don't want to be no punk, or you want to be soft. So, so it just makes us numb. You know what I mean? It makes us numb. So I think it's good that we do have fitness, we do have football, other outlets to kind of let that stuff out. You know what I mean? Because I don't know, man. I feel like working out and stuff like that. That's my therapy, man. Mm-hmm. That's my therapy. Yeah,
James definitely needed a lot of maybe three, maybe four more hugs as a kid. David, I gotta tell you something real quick, man. So I don't know if you've had a chance to check out any of our previous shows. Unfortunately, man, we would have loved to have you with us in studio, but we had a little COVID situation, so we wanted to be responsible and obviously respect you and your family, so I'm going to still have you on.
Bro, he's not even anywhere. He's in Miami.
Oh, that's right. Well, you wouldn't have been on the show anyways.
But listen, though, all I did, honest to God, listen, no lie, for James, though, I promise God I'd have flew up.
Nah, he down there.
I would have flown. I would have flown away, but you're a good dude. But this does give us a chance to do something today that we haven't done in a minute. Yeah. So. If you would just, we got a segment we haven't done this in a few weeks actually called Explain That Pick. So I'm going to pull up, maybe a few picks from your IG.
Yeah.
And I promise, bro, we do try to embarrass, but no, I got you. Good. I got you. So the first one, and this gives us some context, the significance of the pick.
For sure.
It's all on you. So here's the first one. You can see that.
Ah, yeah, man. Yeah, man. That was a I made, you know, it's crazy. I made that decision to do that in a real, I was going through a lot. And that was actually in August, man. I was in July. So it was a lot going on in my life, man, at that point, man. And I had something to prove, not only to like myself, but to her too, you know, because we had definitely hit a little bumpy road or whatnot. But, you know, that was, I realized, let me explain this real quick. I don't have no family. You feel me? Like in Cleveland, I don't have nobody. Like my grandmother was all I had left. I had a grandfather. And then my father. So my father passed in 2004. My grandfather passed in 2009, I believe. And my grandmother passed in 2018 after the show. So like I literally was just by myself, you know. And then, you know, me and her had already been friends, and you know, one thing led to another, and we ended up having a child together. And it's been rocky, man. It's been rocky, but I did it just so I could constantly remind myself of what's important, you know?
Yeah. You know, and not to get too far off, but you mentioned something, and I know for me too, and James, I'm sure you can speak on this yourself. I think we've all three of us, gone through losing a loved one, either recently or maybe years ago, but it still hits you. I know for me, when I lost two people really close to me, and the second person I lost, it was real unexpected. But the one thing that I took with that, the one lesson was, she used to always be down on herself. And us as the family would tell her, don't feel that way. We would almost like make her feel bad for feeling bad. Mm-hmm. And it made it worse. And I came to realize in my own self that, like, I'm not in a position to ever tell anybody that the way they feel is wrong, because they feel that way for a reason, whether it doesn't seem like it makes sense or not.
Right.
But they feel that way. So one of the things that I've changed with myself is like, hey man, if you feel the way you feel, I can appreate that. I don't.
Why you gonna treat me like that, man?
Cause you who? See how he just made this about himself?
Hey, bro. Hey.
No, I express myself. You just, bro, disrespectful.
And no lie, bro. No lie, Chad. No BS. That mentality right there you just said, man, you'll be a hell of a cop, bro.
I'm pulling up on James, what street do you live on again?
Don't worry about that. I can't say it to the listeners, man.
I'm about to raid your garage and all that workout equipment, bro.
That's cool too. That's cool. Yeah, so I got paraphernalia in there. What's the next pitch?
Right, shut up, bro. All right, next one, man. Next one.
All right, I'm ready. Let me see. Black with a badge. What you don't know.
Is that Big Tank? Was that Bounty Tank on there too?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yep. That's my boy. Yeah, that's me and Bounty Tank. AKA Frank. You know, Frank from Cleveland. You know what I mean? But you know, for me and Frank, man, we real close, man. We talk about a lot of personal things outside of like just anything with law enforcement or any type of like bounty hunting type thing. But you know, he came to me and we try to do a lot of things together. So, cause with him being a bounty hunter and me being a cop, we are a part of the same circle, but we completely are different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Most people think it's the same. It's definitely not
the same.
Not even close, bro. Like what he can do, I could never get away with. You feel me? It's like, and that's the beauty of it. Just like it's certain things that I can do that he can't do, you know? But, to have somebody like that in your corner and to have somebody that not only can relate to you, but they understand you and they, you know how you could talk to somebody, share a story, and you got those people like, yeah, y'all feel you. But then you got those who would be like, yeah, cause yo, bro, now let me tell you what happened to me. And they can relate, show you, share another story back to you, bounce stories back off each other. Like that's the type of person he is, you feel me? So it's like anything that he ever want, anything he ever need, I'm down for it. But the Black with the Badge thing, which is still on YouTube, it was just like to clear the air, man. Like you got to realize people, our own people be sometimes be the worst, man. Like, oh, you Uncle Tom, you a fucking sellout, da da da. And you be like, damn, bro, really? Look, behind closed doors, you be like, but damn, I'm doing it for us. I'm doing it for us, bro.
Right. Like, no. But see, the problem is, though, bro, there are brothers that are Uncle Toms, though. That's the thing. Sure. You know what I'm saying? It's them dudes with the shaved mustaches. You know what I'm saying?
It's them dudes. James just grew a mustache like a week ago.
You're lying.
He said you're lying.
But no, I'm just saying it's definitely them dudes. So I understand where some dudes come from, but not. But you get, you just like as we as people don't want to be judged. You know what I'm saying? Off site, we can't judge officers off site. I know some cool ass white officers and cool ass ones.
Yeah.
It ain't about this. So it's about you with like judging the someone based on their actions, not just how they look. You know what I'm saying? Perceptions.
And let me throw this out there too, because I told y'all what my reasons was for doing it. So as I was in it though, like even through the academy, then when I got into the field, I found out that I was really, really, really good at this job. So then basically one day I got pulled over. Boom, I pulled the badge out, pulled the ID out, and you know, it was like, all right, have a good day. You know, he was kind of upset because he couldn't give me a ticket, but I'm like, yo, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. You know, hell yeah. Look, hey, James, I'm like this. Hey, Chad, I'm like this. I'm like, all right, what next? You feel me? Like, all right, I did what I wanted to do.
Right,
so
right.
Oh, you feel me? And that's when I started to grow and started to step on the ladder. And I took on a mentor. And my mentor, he was a captain at the time. And he left East Cleveland, though. But his name Terry Wheeler. And he basically took me under his wing, bruh. And it was a wrap after that, for real.
Hey, you know what's so crazy? I'm glad you said that. We talked about this in a previous episode, the importance of having someone. And that it might have been last episode, or maybe two ago.
Yeah, last episode.
Talking about the importance of having someone. I think because I'm telling you, this point in my life has been real crucial for me. And I've had a lot of time to grow and realize some areas that just ain't what they need to be. And one of those things, I said, man, I need someone like intentionally looking out for me, showing me like, hey, bro, you not really doing what you need to be doing. Or
that's me.
Bro, it was definitely not you, bro.
So somebody besides you.
It was the person I meet with helps me deal with you, bro. So I got one more. I got one more for you.
I got you.
First of all, man, this dude, James, this dude is geared up when he plays football, man. This is the kind of me.
Bro.
This would be me. Let me just say that. I was this when I saw this picture. When I saw this picture, it reminded me when I was a kid. Whatever sport was on TV, whether it was Dwayne Wade when he was in college or even a damn baseball or hockey game, I'm wearing whatever they wearing. I'm in the living room and I'm doing this shit. Like armband, sleeves, all that. Yeah. So we're going to wrap it up with this pick.
Let me see. Which one is this?
Breaking up a little bit.
Yeah. That's what's up. So that picture was taken in Euclid. That was just 2 years ago. That was 2019. That was just last year. So I'm playing with a team called the Cleveland Preds. Shout out to the Preds. You know what I mean? And we got a home
game. I can't believe you still playing. But...
Man, listen, this is it for me. I'm done. These knees blew out.
That's what I'm saying.
So I ended up, he was actually one of our sponsors. It was him and his daughter. And everybody was like, yo, you know, everywhere I go, like, people kind of, like, know who I am. They want pictures. They want autographs. So, like, he recognized me from the show. And he was like, yo, you played for the squad? I'm like, he's like, I sponsored the squad. I'm like, yeah. He's like, bro, can I get a picture with you? You know, me and my daughter? I'm like, yeah, for sure. You know, so we took the flick. You know what I mean? And that was on a light day. I didn't even really – we were playing a bum squad. I didn't even put on nothing for real. I just you know, I literally just threw on some black and white. Like, I'm going to make it look all right. You know what I mean? So, yeah,
First of all, can we talk about the fact that – I'm going to zoom in on this – that the dude looked like he could be Russell Wilson's daddy?
Dude.
He definitely looked like, you know – hey, listen, people was asking me, like, oh, is that your father y'all looking like? I'm like
– yeah, that's what I thought.
Nah. Everybody was saying was we related? I'm like, nah, he just cool people.
Well, yo, man, we gotta wrap this up, guys. Mm-hmm. It's been a pleasure, man. Duncan, man, thank you, bro, for hopping
for sure.
on, man.
For sure.
Appreciate you so much, man. Your insight, it's been amazing. Hope he touched somebody. Hope he can share some information to help empower some other people. And help.
We gotta do this again, bro.
Better relationship. Yeah, for sure. So next time you in town, let's coordinate. You can come down to the studio and do it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Hey, one time for the viewers and listeners, can you give a plug for that video again? The one with Bonnie. Yep.
Oh, it's on YouTube. Actually, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put it in my bio again as a link, and then if you want to, you can click the link. I'll
copy. We'll post it on our YouTube so people can.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just text it to me or message it to me. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. I'm gonna send it to you.
Yeah, got you. So yeah, y'all, make sure y'all like, make sure y'all subscribe, make sure y'all go follow my boy Duncan, that Jamaican Sigma, you know what I'm saying? _Jamaican_Sigma, you know what I'm saying? You and my boy, I think you and my boy is Fat Brothers, Ronell Lee. I think
y'all cross together? That's my best friend, bro.
Okay, boom. There you have it. There you have it, you know. But look, look, that's it, man. So y'all make sure to like, man. Peace, guys. Happy New Year's. Let's get it.
Appreciate y'all. Happy New Year, bro.
Appreciate you, bro.